From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Robin and Linda Williams have a 40-year career in folk music and have appeared in many venues, most notably on Prairie Home Companion as part of the Hopeful Gospel Quartet with Garrison Keillor. They will be in town on November 21st at the Midland Theater in Newark, Ohio. More information about that can be found at www.craftheshow.com. Welcome, Robin and Linda Williams, to Craft.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Well, you will be in concert at the Midland Theater in Newark, Ohio on Thursday, November 21st, and all of our listeners can look forward to that and get tickets for that. You are coming on the strength of your latest release called Back 40, which is a collection of songs that you've recorded in one form or another in the past 40 years, as I understand it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, exactly. We wanted to go back and get a collection of songs that kind of represent some of the, you know, an overview of our career. So we went back to actually some of the stuff that is pre-digital. You know, our career goes back that far. When we first started recording, we were on those vinyl two-sided records, and so some of the material on this record is has never been digitized before. Some of the first songs, you know, from songs from my first record. What do we have, Luna? Two songs from the first record, one from the second, or something like that. So that was encouraging, Doug, to go back and realize that you know, you look back over 40 years and there's still songs from those early days that you think stand up and you want to sing again. So we went back to the studio and recorded a bunch of these old songs, it was really a good experience for us for a couple of reasons. It's one, it validates what we were doing, you know, that we had something when we first started out. That's the way it made us feel. And then also, you know, you sing these songs and you actually bring new things to them that they were personal back then, and they're personal now for different reasons. So it's kind of a nice thing musically and emotionally.
Tell me about some of the songs and maybe one that you'll play when you come to the Midland Theater Thursday, November 21st. Tell me a little bit about maybe how you wrote it, because you've got, of the 14 songs here, I think one or the other of you has written or co-written all but three of them.
Right, yes. We did three covers of sort of, you know, people that we've listened to for a long time that have been in our lives for a long time. But then, yes, most of them are songs that we've written together, and that's kind of how we do things. I will say, I'll just pick On and On, which is the very first song, and it kind of goes back to what we do for a living.
Late night drive, you and me, it makes me feel young to see the moonlight on the broken line. Tonight, this highway's mine.
Talks about the, you know, we wrote this song. I don't know, when did we write this song, Robin?
I guess in the early 90s.
In the early 90s, back when we used to do a lot of overnight driving, you know, we would play like at the Midland Theater, and then get in the car if that was our last job, and drive home. Or if we were going out from there, we might drive overnight, let's say out to Minnesota or something. And we thought that there was a real charm and a real, you know, it was really cool to do that. It made us feel like we were young to be able to get behind the wheel and drive all night and then get up and play, you know.
I don't know whether it made us feel that way. It's just what we did.
Yeah, there was a romance to it. And so we, you know, I just kind of cracked me with the first line. It makes me feel young to see the moonlight on the broken lines. Tonight the highway's mine. And we did also do it because you could make a lot of miles, especially in the summertime when the roads get crowded. You could make a lot of miles overnight that you might run into road work or traffic the next day. So anyway, it was a song about traveling around and going to jobs and touring, and that's the kind of life that we've led for 40 years. And so we thought that was a good one to bring back. And it's that's how that one came to be.
And I would go to a song, the last song on that CD called Henry Brown and Jane Sarue, which is credited to Linda and me now. We kind of rewrote it, but when we first started singing it, it was a song I'd written, and it was a song that had I was writing because I just met Linda. and it was and then we recorded it, I guess, in the, I don't guess, the mid-70s or something like that. But we went back, and of course, you know, we hadn't thought of that song in you know, years and years and years, and gosh. And then to find out that there's still something there that the two of us wanted to sing again, it was, you know, it was really fun. And this time, you know, originally I sang it, and now this time Linda sings it, and it just kind of stands out to me as one of the real good songs on the CD.
You say it still speaks to you. It still has some emotional resonance for you. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? What makes them jump out at you? Henry Brown and Jane Saru was because it reminded you of, say, the early parts of your time together. But what are the other kinds of things that resonate for you with these songs? Are there other parts maybe of the writing process that really were valuable for you when you say, I want to put this on because I remember this was a songwriting breakthrough for me?
There are some songs like that, that some songs that just in the nature of our recording career, some songs were newer than others. Some songs that had a chance to grow and develop a little bit, maybe on in performance. And some songs were new when they were recorded and hadn't had those kinds of chances. And we had always felt like maybe we didn't quite catch them the first time through. And but they were songs that we thought were really good songs. And as Robin said, kind of speak to us differently now than before. And I would say The Real Thing is one I think that falls into that category. It was a song that I sang originally, and I always loved it, but somehow it was it never really made it into our set list. We didn't play it that much, but it was a song that both of us wanted to revisit. And I told Robin, I said, I think this is a song you should sing. So we switched on several songs. We switched the lead singers on them, and that gave them kind of different points of view. But Robin has a real good take on this one.
To me, it just, as I started singing it, it just has it's a song about a song that is empathetic to people with who are going through hard times, you know, and either emotionally or actually, you know, actually physically going through hard times, you know, so I'm really kind of at one point in time I was singing the song, and it just made me think of you know, some of these other performers who I really respect and learn from. I think most notably somebody like Johnny Cash, you know, who was a guy who was really empathetic to the plights of people, you know, because he had to struggle with his demons as well, and that made him open to what people were going through. And history is full of people talking about how Johnny Cash helped them out, and yet history is also full of the fact that Johnny, yeah, as I said, battled his own demons and had to really stay on top of that. I get, you know, that's kind of how, that's a good example of how I think differently about the song. I don't know what I was thinking when we wrote it, but I, you know, it's much more personal to me now than it was then.
Okay. You know, you've got three singer-songwriters on here, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, and Hank Williams, you know, lesser known folks.
Well, they were they kind of just surfaced up. We have a lot of heroes. I mean, you know, we like a lot of other people's writing, and we listen to a lot of music, but these three particular songs just kind of, I don't know, they were the ones that sort of came to the surface just of what felt right for this record. For me personally, I saw Bob Dylan right after he recorded The Freewheelin', which was his second record, and I was about 15 years old, and I saw him play solo at a high school auditorium near where I lived, and it was pretty life-changing for me to see somebody like that play. I was already playing guitar and liked music a lot, and And you heard a lot of this kind of music on the radio, in particular, you know, kind of more commercial sort of folk music on the radio with the Kingston Trio and people like that. And then when you saw when I saw someone who seemed so personally connected to the songs and was writing such great material and obviously so steeped in traditional music, it was like, where is this guy coming from? And it led to a lot to where I am right now. It's the life that I led. And same with Joni Mitchell. I saw her when I was really young too. She was still singing with her husband, Chuck Mitchell. And they were playing, in a little coffee house near where I lived. And I went to see them and I just thought, wow, you know, look at that person. She's not that much older than me. And look what she can do. Look at the talent.
Right.
And, she was always somebody that I just loved. And I grew up in Alabama and have always listened to Hank Williams' music. Robert and I have always sung Hank Williams songs, and he's been his catalog has been a huge source of inspiration and something we go back to all the time. So,
right. One of the things that I thought about as I looked at this is you've got. It must have been sort of difficult to say, you know, we're going to pick one of our songs versus, say, one of our heroes like Hank Williams. And how difficult was that process? Say you.
Well, I think it just depended on, you know, we sat in ranks and, you know, we really prepared for this record. And for every one of the hero songs that we didn't choose, there's one of our songs that we didn't choose because we were... You know, the songs had to, we had to have, feel like we had strong performances of this material. And so some of the songs that we, of ours that we would have liked to have put on, you know, it just didn't quite come together for some reason or another the way the others did.
And we were trying also to not do anything that was all that recent.
Yeah.
Although there is one kind of brand new song on there, the Old Familiar House on Christmas Day was like a new song, and we just liked it so much that we included it because it was a later song. But it had never been recorded before, and we didn't see any real need to do material that was pretty accessible other places, you know.
Right.
And so we did go back a ways in our history, and we tried to. We tried to sort of have parameters that cut down the numbers. And then, as Robin said, it was just a matter of really working with a bunch of songs and feeling like, you know, these were the ones that felt the best to us and that somehow hung together and that we felt like we were bringing something, personal too, even if they were our songs or whether they were our songs or somebody else's. So.
There's one album of yours that I don't think has made it onto digital yet that I have on cassette. Unfortunately, I was unable to really do what you wanted with it. It's the one about singing harmony.
how to sing harmony?
Yes, I have been unable to reach really any variety of success in the wonderful ways that you mix harmony. It has completely eluded me. I don't blame you for this. But
well,
maybe on CD.
You know, that's something that, you know, who knows? I mean, I start singing... we both start singing in church choirs. You know, that's what you do in the South, and you sing in church choirs. And you, I was an alto. I could sing some, you know, a little. I'm like maybe a second soprano part, but mostly I was an alto back then. And I always sang a harmony, and it was just it became like falling off a log to me. And I think it's just a lot of it's just your experience that you have, you know, and something that either you kind of latch onto or you don't. I mean, these people that are great, great, great musicians, you know, I know they put time in, too, like all musicians put their time in, but people that are, you know...
The Yo-Yo Ma's.
Yeah, Chris Thiele, these people that are like, you know, somehow, you know, on higher ground, it's given to them somehow, you know.
So what about them?
Some things just come easier to some people.
Right.
And you know, that's just... but, you know, you shouldn't give up there, Doug.
Yes, for every Chris Thiele at the opposite end, there is a Doug Dangler. Well,
yes.
I want to thank you, Robin and Linda Williams, very much for talking to me today on Kraft, and we look forward to your concert at the Midland Theater in Newark, Ohio.
Hey, well, thanks for doing what you do, Doug. Thanks for helping spread the music around.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
We're just looking so forward to being there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information from my guests, Robin and Linda Williams, visit www.kraftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.